Well, hello again. This is Bill Caskey from the Advanced Selling Podcast. This is the vignette series where we stop for a moment during the week and take a few minutes and talk about some issues that our clients are struggling with and that we're trying to help them with. And today I want to talk a little bit about this idea of when do you ask the customer questions? What does that sound like, look like, feel like, and why is it so difficult to do? I was in a meeting yesterday morning with a client who was getting ready to go see a potential client. It was their first meeting with this prospect, and they had called me in because that's what we do here. We coach people on skills and process, and our work here is working with organizations far and wide, large and small, on sales and how to pursue business and how to acquire new business. And a lot of times it gets down to what is our attitude on the call. So when we go out and counsel someone, one of my first questions is, how do you feel about this prospect right now? Because if I hear my clients say that they really need the business, or if they don't say they need the business, but the tonality is that of a desperate, begging salesperson, then I know that they're going to mess it up. And so I always start with that, and of course I get some weird looks the first couple times I do, but then after a while, everybody understands that I need to know that, because if I'm going to coach a desperate person, it's very different than coaching a highly confident, detached person. And by detached, I mean the sales professional is totally detached and unemotional as to whether they get the business or not. Now, some of you traditional salespeople will say, well, I'm always attached to whether I get the business. I'm enthusiastic. I want the prospect to say no. I'm competitive. And by God, I'm going to go to the ends of the earth until that prospect says yes. Well, okay, but I don't know that that's the best model of thinking. I think there is a place for competitiveness, but it's probably not you against the prospect. I think the best place for your competitiveness to be parlayed is competing against the problem the prospect has to solve, not against the prospect. He says yes, you say no, you say yes, he says no. Why would you compete against that? It's the person you want to sign on with and be a part of, be a partner with. Why would you start by competing against them? And yet that's what happens so often, is I hear the sales chatter, and the sales chatter is about competing with the prospect. Even though you would never admit that, that's really what it gets down to. So I had this meeting with my client. I said, well, tell me how you feel. And they actually convinced me that they were pretty detached, and it would be a nice piece of business to have, but they didn't need it. So I said, okay, that's fine. So what's the call flow? And write that down if you are any place to do that, call flow. Have you ever mapped out the call flow that you have on a prospect engagement? And yet, isn't that so important, how the call flows, how you start it, how you end it, what happens in between, what kind of information do you want, what kind of information do you suspect they want, when during the call do you stop your chatter, and do you say, Mr. Prospect, you know, one of the things that we believe in is that we are a problem-solving organization, and in order to do that, we need to know what your issues are and what your dreams are, what your goals are. When do you do that during the call? I think it's very important. I think the timing of that's very important. So as you think about this idea of going from you talking to them talking, and by the way, salespeople just flat talk too much. I've heard us on phone calls. I've heard us on in face-to-face meetings. I've heard us in training. I've heard us take 10 minutes to explain what we probably should be able to explain in 15 to 30 seconds. I've heard us ramble rabbit trail after rabbit trail after rabbit trail to the point where we don't even know what our point was in the story. Brian Neal, my co-host on the podcast, says, you know what, he channels John Candy in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, actually channels Steve Martin, you know, to John Candy, if you tell a story, have a point. So if you're going to go on these rabbit trails, have a point to them. Do you really know where you're going? And make sure that you carve out at least half of the sales call, the actual meeting you have with your prospect. Carve out half of it for them. Make sure they have a chance and don't rush them through the questions. Leave a little white space. You know, white space is what a graphic artist, a graphic designer will leave. Sometimes you see these pages in the New York Times or magazines and there's all white space with just a few words. Well, that's intentional. They could fill that up with words very easily. But they know that if they put five words on white space, you're probably going to read those five words. If they put 5,000 words in that white space, you may not read one. So leave a little white space in your delivery and in your call for them to think through things. When you ask a question, pause. After they answer it, pause. Don't be so quick to jump in and confirm and acknowledge, oh, yeah, Mr. Prospect, I really think that's really good. In fact, the reason you said that's exactly the reason we have created this new product. Stop. Shut up. Relax. Leave space for the prospect to tell you their pains and problems, and guess what? They will. I've enjoyed today. This is Advanced Selling Podcast Vignette Series. My name is Bill Caskey, and Brooke Green, Brian Neal, Terry Sarbanoff, the whole gang here at Caskey will continue to be releasing these on a periodic basis when we think we have something important to say. Glad you joined us.